Chairman, call to order. Boards and Commission Subcommittee meeting, October 20th, 1:30. Present, Councilmember Tackett, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilmember Weiner, Councilmember Diller, and Trustee Anthony Ferrer and Chris Fuller. We will move forward now with the agenda. Review of boards and commissions, vacancies, and candidate resumes. We have, looks like we have three resumes.
I have a couple of copies if you guys want.
Anyone need a copy? Mr. Tackett, you have a copy of resumes? Lisa? Janet, you good?
I think I got them.
Janet, good, okay. The first is a, for Reddy. I think he's up for financial, he's interested in the financial advisory board.
Right.
Who sent it? Who's guy's that?
Well, he actually sent his resume in to the Financial Advisory Council himself. And he lives in Councilman Allen's district. So Councilman Allen did agree to sponsor it if it goes forward.
Okay. And there's a vacancy?
There is a vacancy.
Is it our appointment or the executive?
It's our appointment that requires executive consent.
Okay.
What's the committee?
Financial Advisory.
Financial Advisory.
What's their job?
Okay, advise auditor. MITs.
They advise the auditor? That's not the audit committee? Oh, you're right. It is financial advisory.
Jimmy, you know, they advise finance on the going forward with finance.
Maybe like projections and stuff.
They work with COOP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this the same as, oh, this is Nick Back?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, yes.
And he's, well.
They don't, well, that's a whole other story. I mean, they are not DFAC. They look at the numbers and verify the numbers. They don't do the projections such as DFAC does and go through all of that. I mean,
I don't know if Watchdog is.
But I don't see that if you aren't looking at all of the numbers, if you're not doing projections and you're not doing some analyzing, all you're doing is just saying, yeah, I looked at these numbers. What is the purpose?
Bob, your institutional knowledge, what is this group?
Well, I think Bob Wasserback would be the better one.
Mr. Wasserback, what is this financial advisory board?
We're responsible for reviewing the investment numbers that are presented by my office. We have office finance, show budget for the actual. Big area of the budget and then go to the finance facility. Basically, they ask questions about the website.
How often do they do this review?
Quarterly.
Quarterly. Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Thank you, Bob.
They actually certify, for the budget, they certify the check revenue numbers.
That's pretty significant.
Mr. Martin? Yeah, I just wanted to ask, Mr. Wasserback, do they get quorum?
I don't think it's very good. I think they generally have a quorum.
Well, there's three.
I know one is always there.
Yeah. But there's three that are expired that are VCEs.
Yeah.
And only one in here is ours that's expired. So out of 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, there's four expired terms, right?
Including this one?
Including this one.
Yeah, there's five because the chair looks like it's technically expired. Although it's not the right color.
It's not the right color.
Would that be Rich Davis?
Yes.
Is this a paid group? Mr. Boyle, five-year appointment?
Three years.
And this?
Yes, Mr. Tapp.
And are most boards, the chair serves at the pleasure, so this one is not, it serves a term?
Well, I don't have the rules in front of me, but it looks like...
It's a term?
It looks like it's got terms, because on this chart, when they serve at the pleasure, it usually says, in place of their term, it says serve at the pleasure. This one actually has an end date.
But the three county executive ones that are expired have been expired since 2012.
Yeah. And I don't know if they're still coming to meetings, or if they just stopped coming.
If they're expired, then they don't have a quorum.
Not legally.
Not legally.
Right.
But Joanne Finnegan always emails us about them.
Right.
Except the last year, she was at an attorney league because I found out there was a meeting and I hadn't been informed of it. And it turned out because she was at an attorney league.
Or you mean?
I originally thought it was just me.
She gets a...
So they... She doesn't have...
So there is a vacancy.
Does grandmas get attorney league?
One for us.
We have...
Mike Finnegan's wife, right?
One for us, four for the administration.
I know she's not having...
Well, let's take care of ours. Anybody have any objections to this gentleman? I'm sorry, Mr. Boyle.
I didn't know she worked for him. I thought it was his wife. Mike Finnegan's wife, Joanne. Ooh, what a small county we have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Weiner, thank
you. Yes, George Dadaman is an attorney who serves as bond counsel. Of course, I don't know if he's still interested in serving. It may not be just be an issue of...
He resigned.
Oh, well, then that clarifies that.
Yeah.
So, could we identify someone with that sort of expertise to replace him?
Rather than taking the one that...
What about the one before us?
This guy was a...
Because he have
the investment analyst, John Hancock.
Yeah. Okay. Senior investment analyst, acquisitions analyst.
Yep. Mm-hmm. MIT guy. Background in mortgage banking. He's a member of the MBA group. Councilman Holland signed off on it as well.
I would defer then to this recommendation. Maybe at another time we can look for someone that has the bond counsel experience.
This is, yeah. Councilman Billy, have anything on this?
No, I think you can move ahead. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Councilman Tack, do you have any objections?
No, thank you.
No, I'm good. Okay, so we'll move him, Anthony, to the, let's put him up for the financial guy. Thank you all. Second resume is a Robert Ralston. This is Mr. Warren, I think he's from your district.
Yes.
Ethics. He's interested in the Ethics Commission.
Yes, and I reached out to him. He's sent a transmittal letter, which basically said, I have a boring resume. I focused my entire career on working and raising my family's running kids. It's that point in time, he's in his late 60s, where he said, you know, thanks for asking me, I really appreciate it.
And which one is it, Ethics, you said?
Ethics, yeah, Mr. Ross.
Robert Ross. He's apolitical, boring, other than serving as a civic association president, a workers' compensation guy, he doesn't really have anything except he's an attorney, graduated magna cum
be different schools. I mean, less is more with this guy.
Well, we have
I've never seen a resume.
We have this resume,
this resume
and then
is
we have
half
this
a page.
Resume
and the guy before
we
him
write a book on.
Is the introduction to a book. His resume.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This guy here is a sentence.
Yeah.
But it's powerful. Mm-hmm. Mr. Tack, you have any objection or comment? Mr. Ralston for ethics, recommend about this guy.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Good, Tack.
Yep.
Ms. Lisa, you will. Please. Janet, you will.
I will.
Okay.
Yes, I think it's interesting to assert.
What can you say?
My God.
It's not like we have tons that flop in our lap to say.
Yeah. Obviously, I think it's really important, but hopefully he is.
He's ready.
Yes, he said he's gotten to the point in his life where he has time to give back.
That's great. And this is just ours. This is not me. Executive permission, correct?
No, it is.
It is?
Yep.
Executive have to sign off on this.
Mm-hmm. Then they're all, right?
Yeah.
It's not just ours. They're all.
There are a couple letters.
It's red. Yeah. All of them have, you have to have the other groups.
Involved.
Yeah. Pension board, we can just appoint a few people on our own.
Right. The blues we can appoint. Okay.
Yeah, assessment.
All right, so this has to.
Audit.
All right.
Yeah, this one requires a 8%.
Okay.
The last resume, joining us is Councilmember Reddy. Good afternoon. The last resume is Leon Tucker, Councilmember Tackett for diversity.
Oh,
do you share us anything about it?
No, Leon has just been an individual who's been, interested in serving. I believe you and him had a little conversation in Middletown.
Yes, we did.
He was the editor for the News Journal for a while, and then when they did the merger and the cutbacks, he had just, he was downsized.
Yeah.
He's now the PR person for Habitat for Humanity.
Yes.
And has the extra time given that he's not the editor anymore, and he's looking for opportunities to serve and help. So,
he's been
working for a little while over there. He seems to be very, energetic. He's got two little cute boys.
Yeah.
One of them's a little, just like him. But, that certainly doesn't qualify me for a board, but.
Doesn't it?
Right.
It does. Raising children, raising boys.
Anyone have any comments or objections to him?
Sounds great. Certainly been in different parts of the country. I think it's kind of nice that maybe he knows something that goes on in other parts of the world rather than our world. But didn't the email say that he was in contention for several boards or interested in several boards?
Tucker.
Yeah. Is that what the email said?
He listed like three that he'd be interested in, and this was one of them. But
yeah, I'm sorry, I missed that. The only vacancy I think we're going to have is diversity. That what you guys said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other ones, there were no vacancies on, so coupled with his knowledge and expertise and experience would have, perhaps prepped him for several of them, but the only one we have, and he did mention that, was diversity.
Cool. All right. Council, any comments? Good. Mr. Reddy, you good?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
One question.
Yes, sir.
Is he related to Sean Tucker?
No.
Okay.
This is a brother from another mother. This is African American.
I wasn't gonna say that.
He's about 6'4".
Oh, he's a big guy.
Big boy.
He looks like that guy from the Green Mile. What was his name?
Yeah, Michael. Mike Duncan.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He passed.
Yep, he did.
All right.
Is he originally from the Tucker family in New York?
Much be is. I mean, it's still Newark, so I would imagine it could be.
Uh-huh. Now, we need to act on the former Grand Presidential Board.
I would suggest
that.
I think that's. And I have one minute that at this time supposedly met, and I am in the process of getting, I want more than just the name. And I know the person because I know politically that he did something which made me aware of him, but I will get that to you.
When is the date?
Is it November 1st? Or 11th?
It's coming soon.
Putting in names for the board? I didn't think we had a date on that. I thought we had a date if we were asking for comments for the extension. Yeah, I think that was.
I thought we had a deadline for names.
Did we? Okay.
I don't remember.
Find out.
It's about a month.
I think you said a month.
It's about a month.
During the meeting, it's about a month.
Okay, all right.
Any name with please attach a resume before we get to the second.
Okay.
Mr. Reddick?
Yeah, a question. This guy that you're talking about, this person, with Maxwell.
He's a farmer.
On farm?
Got his farm in farmland preservation.
He knows what's going on there.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yes.
He won the guy out of the office.
You weren't
the person to be in an office that they own farm.
No. Yeah. It's been generational farming as far as I know.
Yeah,
his children still do that. Can we just talk before we move on just for 1 second about the drafts?
Yeah.
When I look at these, we have Centerville, which has 3 people out of 7 vacancies. Claymont is filled. They have obviously something very active going on there. Cochessen, 3 vacancies out of 9. It's supposed to be 50-50 business to residents. There's only 1 business person on that board. And St. George's is completely vacant. They're not doing anything at all. I know that Cochessen and probably Claymont have an interest in keeping the Drax going, but when you start looking at the vacancy rates on these, you really have to wonder with the communities as a whole whether
what
the work is.
Particularly with
St. George's, my God, there is absolutely nobody down there.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't want to keep these going, I mean, what's the disillusion?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Of, taking, because St. George's, all of the drafts had to file a plan once they were given this hometown overlay. And within that, they had the ability to change the code. So,
and you have like a silencer?
Under the Drax, don't follow the same code that's in our county code, things like signage. Ways that they can get waivers on parking for new businesses. And there are things that they have exemptions for. If there is no board, and those, how do those exemptions keep going when there's nobody to do the questioning and meet with the people that are there to put up the new building or whatever it is.
Mr. Reddick, and Mr. Blair.
Yeah.
Good question.
One question. When some of these boards are formed, and some of them like now that are partially vacant, some are vacant, is there a draft or a county format that is sent to these people? Like if you're trying to get somebody to sit on the board, like we do here,
mm-hmm.
they should know what the criteria is. Are they doing the same thing, and is that scaring people away, or is it not getting people, or things of that nature?
Is there a process?
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to look at the whole thing. I mean, I remember when St. George's was formed. It was probably about, 4 years ago, Jim? And they had people ready and standing in line to get on that board.
Right.
The other thing is, too, is the area that they would come from. Now, you don't want to get somebody from St. George's to sit on a draft board. St. George's board that is a woman.
Right, they have to be...
They have to be within that area.
But can I make a comment on that? I probably, on the Hokesson one, have... two people, three, probably three people that actually live, I have two people that live in the area. The one business person does not live within the area. It's a very defined area and it's very small. So two of the residents actually, one of the residents actually lives within that area and the businessman has a business within that area. The rest of mine came from close, but outside of that area.
This is people are on that board.
What?
So it's a 50-50 board, right?
Yes, but I know where near 50-50.
I understand that. I mean, 50-50 board where
yes.
A business person who has a business in that area
correct.
Sits on the board. So
correct.
It doesn't make a difference if they really live there.
Correct. Correct.
The other is the residency that I'm talking about.
Right.
Where same thing with St. George's or someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't want a resident that doesn't live there.
But how far outside is acceptable?
Well, that's what I'm saying is...
five other members, and none of them live within the overlay.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Do they live, like, here's the overlay, and they live here?
Yeah.
Next door?
No, they... I'd say within a mile.
The general percent.
General percent.
See, that's what I'm asking about the
St. George.
Paperwork on out.
Right.
Saying you got to live within these parameters. Or you have to be, your
right.
business has to be there.
Right.
So that's
and
what
some
I'm
of that has just been overlooked.
The paperwork on that.
Right. And some of it's just been overlooked because it's so hard to get people from right within that overlay that anybody that's interested in what's in the overlay and may live outside of it, they take on the board because there's nobody else to do it. I mean, isn't that what you find in Centerville?
I don't think it's too much that they don't have an interest. They just don't want to serve on the board. They want to speak out, just like they do here with us.
Right.
They don't want to serve, but they want to speak out.
Well, and some you still have to do your financial
report.
And they don't want. Many people do not want to do that.
Giving assistance.
Right. I mean, and they're such so benign.
So.
But they don't want to do it. But I, you know, when I saw this and I saw. So, I mean, St. George is just defunct. So what do we do about that?
Well, that's what I was going to say is make a suggestion that we look at the whole thing all over and look at, their rules and regulations and our rules and regulations and put them together and see what we come up with.
Well, each one is going to be different.
Right.
Because, you know, what Centerville decided on for their regulations isn't necessarily what Hokesson decided
on. We should be looking at it.
But as a whole, I mean, what do we do if there's all vacancies? What do we do? This isn't even...
Is it our responsibility?
For our boards.
This is county executive.
County executive appointments.
Right.
Right.
St. George.
Right. I mean, the law says county executive appointments, with nominations coming through the council.
Yeah, they come under...
Lisa, we're going to have to sit about it.
Yeah, well, I think
the chairs.
This is all they can do. At a certain point, I hadn't really thought about this, but you need a sunset provision for this stuff. Because if you have no one, if there's no purpose to it, why do you keep it on?
Right.
You have to look at the rules and regulations and work on
I mean, at this point, there aren't even enough people on some of these to make a forum. So how do they legally operate?
In operation out there.
Yeah.
Mr. Weiner, then Mr. Tapp.
Thanks.
That is Jenny.
Well, I've got a little institutional history because I was here when the legislation was put together. It would behoove us to invite Sam Guy or an administration to sit down with us and I wish they were here today, Mr. Brown was here today, or someone, because by fiat, they can simply not appoint people to the boards, and the board becomes defunct. And that shouldn't be allowed for the tail to wag the dog. I think there should be some dialogue on this with the administration to find out exactly what their intent is. And also the council person in the district would be Mr. Bell, I think. He's a key player here. And maybe the conclusion would be that we disenfranchise that particular board if there's no interest in the county executive, there's no interest in the community, and there's no interest from the councilman. But I think, and I've had some informal conversations with Councilman Bell, and I think that might be the conclusion that's reached, but we should reach out to those principal parties and have a discussion. As far as the Centerville Design Review Advisory Committee, I have submitted two names, and I've not heard any action yet from the administration. I have followed up, and I will follow up again. But again, it shouldn't be the administration that determines the viability of this board. If in fact, I know in Centerville's case, there are people that want to serve, even though it is a very small geographic area. The last point I wanted to raise is, by legislation, there's no authority for members from outside the geographic area to serve on the board. So there, any recommendation that they would have would be, legally speaking, ultra-virus or outside the scope of their authority. So again, that should be on our agenda with the administration to see whether or not we want, even though we may have a defined area for that draft, that we may want to have a penumbra, a shadow area outside where folks can serve so that decisions are challenged. And I can think of one attorney in Centerville that would be the first to sign up to check. So I think we should make this available. Ask them to check them. And let them know in advance exactly what they say.
I was just going to add, possibly that DRAC is a component of being issue-driven. I remember that, too, because I was here. What happened was is the people in St. George's were coming in. They were trying to subdivide their lots, created this big controversy, this outcry. Billy Bell was upset. So I think, you know, they created this and, I guess, fulfilled that need at that moment, and no other ones came in. So it probably drifted off, and the planner probably never got signed. And although the was, you know, created and exactly, and moved on, and never got a nomination, or never got, you know, anybody moved on it because.
Business, there's not going to be a lot of people. I don't have a problem with that, but
not accepted.
Wait, you can't put it on the book. The laws have, how are you going to make the decision?
What's the motivation? Some of the language in the minutes, your points, everybody's points, you know.
So that we just have a full discussion?
Yeah.
How the book is.
Mr. Brown.
What would be the length of time, too, for having a partial board? Like, are we going to let, they have, say, five on the board, or six on the board, are we going to let four serve and do the decisions, or what's the length of time we're going to let the other couples out?
Without four, you know,
you're not a four, you're not doing it.
You're not a four. Well, if you have six, you have four, you do it.
Right.
But are they going to be making decisions, and then the other ones that aren't on the board going to be complaining about this, or how long are we going to let the board not put forward?
Good question.
That's the other thing. I mean, we're trying to rack our heads here. Part of it has to do with the citizens that live in that area.
Sound like the whole thing needs to be revamped.
Yeah, I think it has to be revamped.
I don't know how old this is.
It's over 10. It started in 2000.
Maybe time to get ready. Yes, Mr. Martin.
May I suggest, given Mr. Bell's work schedule, that office look out as whether you can be able to attend or whether you qualify as a board. We need to determine what his thoughts are best if you were to deal around the table along with the administration.
You may not even know about this department.
Oh, he does. We talked about it. Okay. He just said there's really no interesting. I mean, he made it on his own. He volunteered that observation.
I concur. I also now would recommend that the land use general manager and or his representative be present for that discussion.
Jim Smith is the one that focuses on the facts, and we have to bring him in.
Yes. Vink. Actually pronounces it Vince.
V-I-S-C?
Yes.
Something
Yeah, VILC.
That should be involved in this.
Yes.
That means that it's an executive meeting or a
board? So we can just talk about this. Is that important? You all agree with this?
Yes, I agree.
Anything on up?
Mr. Martin. Yeah, just because the newspaper mentioned just left in my mind that the news journal is laying out their foremost experience of folks. The editor of the editorial page, and that replaces me. They're laying off Robin Brown. They're laying off an investigative reporter. And our Delvaux environmental expert, Jeff Montgomery. And then Maureen Milford, who's the institutional counsel in all of this. And
Sweeney's going to.
Sweeney, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are,
this is a real loss.
Right. In the meantime, there's no clue.
They don't know.
They don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I mentioned, just as an example, I mentioned to the writer on the Brain and Water Country that the reason they all started because if you weren't Protestant or Anglican, you couldn't join a country club in Newcastle County. So Jews, Catholics, and soon after that, African Americans started the Brain and Water Country Club for 7 years. And, you know, if it had been Maureen Milford writing the article, there would have been a mention. But there was nothing in the article.
I think part of it is that their structure has changed so dramatically that everything is fast post on Delaware Online. So you get it up, they do something, then they figure out that it's not all there or not quite right, and then they take it back and they redo it an hour later. But everything is just, it's not thorough, it's fast. A little fast and a bunch of fluff, get it up. And then, you know, that's been a constantly changing thing. So it's not the, we want to do this really good before we go in.
Father,
I just not involved in it yet.
Just gotcha. Anything else? Any public comment? Full house.
Question?
Aye. Land use at